Welcome to A Course in Miracles, everybody. We are studying a section of the book that I think is a huge gift from Jesus, from the author, from your higher self, from you, your connected mind. This is A Course in Miracles, and in the back in the manual for teachers, there's 10 attributes of the teacher of God. I think this is, you know, these are, each of them is a prayer, I think, for the aspiring, happy person. I mean, okay, great. You want to be enlightened. That's wonderful. But I'll bet you the reason why is because you would like to be happy in your core. And I venture to speak for everybody just for a moment to speed things along that you probably don't believe that your happiness resides from something coming to you in the world. So you have taken and turned or learned or awoken to an inward journey. And I don't know Martin very well, but I can speak for everybody else here a little bit more. And I think that you have found that your inward journey has brought what we call an awakening, at least a small one, incremental awakenings to more certainty or more peace. Somehow a encouragement that goes beyond what the world can offer. Has certainly for me. So these 10 attributes in the manual for teachers. It's such a handy list. Trust, honesty, gentleness, joy, defenselessness, generosity.
Tolerance.
Faithfulness, patience, open-mindedness. Wow, what a list! Any of these taken fully as the way that you would abide would be counter to the ego's agenda. The ego trusts, sure, conditionally. The ego's honest, conditionally, etc. When we talk about a spiritual awakening, we're talking about you taking on a perspective that is beyond the body. We're talking about you taking a perspective of mind that does not deny the world. It does not deny the world. No, it uses the world now. To help you heal the part of your mind that believes in the world. You know, one of my favorite sayings is that you have come to know something with your heart and your mind that is not true. This is the problem. The world's not a problem. Even your ego's not a problem. Your belief is the problem. Your belief is what's bringing you a little chaos, a little discomfort now and then. And as the Course calls it, you've made your own personal, private, I'm going to add the word separate. The Course says personal, private, hell. Personal, private, separate, hell. You've made this. It's been fun, but you're now called to awake. If you're doing A Course in Miracles, you have heard the call. A little something has ignited in you. I like to call it spiritual ignition. And you are drawn now back toward the light, back toward lightness, back toward awakening. You now believe that the inward journey is where the healing is. You would not seek to change the world. You seek to change your mind about the world. And this you must do. You know, you don't just commit suicide and you're free. Why not? Anybody? Why doesn't suicide work? Somebody, tell me.
You just make another body.
Make another body? Sure, that's right. But what else?
Same mind.
It's the same mind. The mind that would try to leave the body, thinking that leaving the body would make it happy, is the same mind that would say, the body was real.
And more than that,
yes,
the mind now has a tendency to be drawn towards suicide once again.
Once again. Looking for relief from the body makes the body real. Anybody else want to add to why suicide can't work?
You haven't undone everything.
That's right. That's right. You're not free.
You just have to come back and do everything all over again.
Yes. And you have come back and do everything all over again, because what you believe in, like I said, what you know with your heart and your mind, it is undone, has to be undone at that level. So the best, easiest, quickest, most concise surgical way to undo the mistake of thinking you are a body is to be in a body without denial of what it actually is. You see, to see an illusion truly is not to deny the illusion. Because denying something means you have to believe in something in order to deny it. No, the quickest way to be free of the illusion is to become awake or awakened or aware, through the Holy Spirit, of course, that what you see is not as it appears to be.
Huh. That's an understatement.
But that's the way out, not a denial, but an awakening from the item. The Course in Miracles says that the Holy Spirit's job is to translate. To translate. To take what you think is real, and the Holy Spirit is part of your mind that's still connected to the truth. It will translate what you think is real, seeing what you think is real, but knowing only the truth, not believing as you do. Ross, go ahead, and then we'll go to Tim.
So Eckhart Tolle, one of the things that he says that always struck me was that even an illusion has a little bit of truth in it. Otherwise, it would not be, it would not exist.
At all.
So there's a thought. Obviously, there's a thought in the illusion. So
yes.
So something.
Where do thoughts occur?
In the mind.
In the mind. Where does the Holy Spirit occur?
In the mind.
Thank you, Ross. There are actually passages I can take you to if it's important to anybody in the course where it discusses that. Tim, go ahead.
It's also not given us, the course teaches, to throw away that which we truly are. That's not in our power to do.
Yes. Tell us more.
It makes suicide a pointless exercise. You're looking for a way out, but you can't get out of what you actually are, nor would you want to. You would, if you were just solely aware of what you actually are, there would be no suffering.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There would simply be love and action in the form of extension of that love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's you don't, because what I believe what I'm saying is absolutely true, that you do know, K-N-O-W, you being in a body in time and space, know something that's not true. And so that's right, Tim, in the most essence, you will not deny what you think is what you are. Of course, you can't not be what you are in truth. We got that. But what about what you think you are? You can't do it. You won't do it. This is why the miracle is so necessary. See, forgiveness. Okay, say suicide is forgiveness. Is it forgiveness to let go? Isn't it? Isn't that one of the quickest shortcuts for forgiveness is to undo or to let go?
That's the misapplication of the word.
If you try to just let go of the body by killing it, in a way, that would be forgiveness. Right? Just in a way, you try to take a shortcut and you said, I'm going to commit suicide and I'm going to thereby let go of my body.
That's confusion.
But you see, what's missing in order to make it A Course in Miracles use of forgiveness, what's missing is the miracle. See, the miracle is a shift in perception from wrong to right, from dark to light, from physical to spiritual, however you want to say it. The miracle is not enough. You do have to have forgiveness. There must be forgiveness. But it starts with a miracle. It starts with the healing of your mind about what you're apparently, what seems to be presenting itself. And then, of course, Course in Miracles says that when you're ready and your mind is free, you can die. And it'll be just like taking off an old coat that's worn and you don't need it anymore. That's the whole experience. Not like you're losing something or have to do it. It's like, oh, I don't need this coat now. Free.
I think I missed. I'm sorry I tuned in late.
No problem. Glad to see you.
All I heard was suicide. What led up to that, if you may?
Oh, we're just going on with how important it is that you heal your mind. And that's what the Course in Miracles is for, is that you got to heal your mind. And we got around somehow, I don't remember how, that you don't take these shortcuts. In the body, now that we believe that it's true, the Holy Spirit will use what we believe is true as the quickest path to undo. Course describes it this way, to take us back up the ladder that the ego has let us down. Very specifically, you know, this world is not a mistake. This world was very purposefully, beautifully, and wonderfully. I mean, I've looked at the very small in microbiology, but Dr. Day, Tim, has looked at the very large with astronomy. It's absolutely fantastic what's going on here. It's just the more I look at, the more amazed I am. Not a mistake. Not a mistake at all. Thinking that you are a body and that your life, L-I-F-E, exists. Your existence is only in this body form. That's a mistake that needs healing because you managed to block love. Yes, Luann?
That's basically what I was going to say is destroying the body, getting rid of it in any form, isn't destroying anything about you. It's just, and it's keeping you from healing the mind.
So, yes, that's right, because the mind has taken a journey where it thinks the body is real and is a problem that needs to be solved.
Right.
Yeah, look at quick, before we jump into tonight's reading, let's go to page 338 again. I swear we should do this every single meeting. Go to page 338, paragraph 6, if memory serves me right. God, every time I take a little bit of vacation, I have to retrain myself.
That's in the text, right?
In the text. Yeah, it is. It's 338, paragraph 6. Luann, would you read for us that amazing paragraph all the way through?
Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all of the barriers within yourself that you have built against it. It is not necessary to seek for what is true, but it is necessary to seek for what is false. Every illusion is one of fear, whatever form it takes. And the attempt to escape from one illusion into another must fail. If you seek love outside yourself, you can be certain that you perceive hatred within and are afraid of it. Yet peace will never come from the illusion of love, but only from its reality.
That's it. And that's what these 10 attributes in the Manual for Teacher is to help us stop denying the reality of love. But you say, Andrew, how? You know, what do I do in my personal relationship to stop denying the reality of love? I will tell you specifically, learn to trust. Develop that trust personally and honestly.
Okay, I think there's a good message in that, but learn to trust in what?
Mm-hmm. Learn to trust that the world is not governed by the laws the world made up.
Okay.
Learn to trust in the big picture. Learn to trust in spirit. Learn to untrust or deny the laws of the world, which are loss, guilt, fear, death. When you do this, there is a crossover we've talked about many times, Dark Night of the Soul, it's called by some, because you deny things that you think you know to be true. But you make it with the help of a little guide like A Course in Miracles or your own meditation, and you wake up to an invisible being that is your true self. We call this the enlightenment moment. But there is always, just as this paragraph described, love is waiting. And then there's a sense of freedom we call the holy instant. That's more peaceful and more powerful than any promise the world ever made. This is what we're doing. You're apparently ready for it because you're doing A Course in Miracles. It's a great path. I think it's just the most wonderful path. So what do? You learn to trust. Trust in what? Trust in spirit. And start letting the material laws just pause on them and try choosing trust, honesty, gentleness, joy, defenselessness, tolerance, generosity, gentleness. That's tonight's word, gentleness. Patience, faithfulness, open-mindedness. These are keys. They're clues. They're keys. They're exact ideals that will help you surface love in your life, in your conversations, in your dealings with the world. Not fixing the world here, fixing your mind. I will be healed as I let him teach me to heal. So that's what we're doing on page 12 tonight in the Manual for Teachers. We're taking yet another step. This is the step number 4. Gentleness. So let's dig right in. Ross, when you get there, would you read for us paragraph 1 on gentleness, Manual for Teachers, page 12?
Gentleness. Harm is impossible for God's teachers. They can neither harm nor be harmed. Harm is the outcome of judgment. It is the dishonest act that follows a dishonest thought. It is a verdict of guilt upon a brother and therefore on oneself. It is the end of peace and the denial of learning. It demonstrates the absence of God's curriculum and its replacement by insanity. No teacher of God but must learn, and fairly early in his training, that harmfulness completely obliterates his function from his awareness. It will make him confused, fearful, angry, and suspicious. It will make the Holy Spirit's lessons impossible to learn. Nor can God's teacher be heard at all except by those who realize that harm can actually achieve nothing. No gain can come of it.
Fantastic! And then, Martin, would you read for us paragraph 2?
Therefore, God's teachers are wholly gentle. They need the strength of gentleness. For it is this that the function of salvation, for it is in this that the function of salvation becomes easy. To those who would do harm, it is impossible. To those who, to whom harm has no meaning, it is merely natural. What choice but this has meaning to the sane? Who chooses hell when he perceives a way to heaven? And who would choose the weakness that must come from harm in place of the unfailing, all-encompassing and limitless strength of gentleness? The might of God's teachers lies in their gentleness. What they have understood, their evil thoughts came neither from God's Son nor his Creator. Thus did they join their thoughts with him who is their source. And so their will, which always was his own, is free to be itself.
That sounds like a healed mind to me. Leading to the healed mind, leading to the availability of actually being loving. Yeah.
So, Andrew?
Yes, sir.
So the question I have is, since how do we arrive at this genuine gentleness and kindness and tolerance when ego speaks first, and often, you know, then we behave in what you would might be perceived as a harmful way. Do we then, is the way we get to the gentleness and kindness is to step back after that behavior and invite Holy Spirit's healing, which would be gentle and kind and lighthearted?
If you're that accomplished that you can just step back, then absolutely, that's correct. If you're having trouble stepping back, then probably Miracle Principle 7, which is miracles, everyone's right, but purification is necessary first in order for you to have the miracle. You probably need some more purification. What's purification? Doing the workbook. Where you catch yourself throughout the day without the huge problems, probably, and you catch your ego at work and start to recognize how it's working. So I could answer your question more thoroughly. First, I'll give you a quick answer. That's kind of a medium answer. I'll give you a quick answer, quick quote, and then I'll give you a little longer illustration of the power of the undoing of the ego that's provided by the workbook. So first, the short answer. Turn to page 218. It's very short. 218 in the text. Okay, and on 218, look at paragraph 1, sentence 5. Is it highlighted in anybody's book? Do you remember my Thursday night? It is.
Paragraph what?
Paragraph 1, which is the labeled one on that page, the way to remember God, the way to remember God. Paragraph 1, sentence 5, on page 218, the text says this. The task of the miracle worker thus becomes to deny the denial of truth. What's an example? Anybody, the denial of truth? Anybody have any pithy words that would be shortcut, the denial of truth, the Course in Miracles we'll be talking about? Yeah, go ahead. Wait, oh, you're muted, Luann. I gotcha.
All right.
Go ahead.
I had a denial of truth. I was going to say something to my daughter in the swimming pool, but I knew it was going to hurt her. And I didn't want to do that, but I did it anyway. Like, I denied the truth of what I knew was true.
You knew.
But I didn't go with what I knew was true.
You fed the ego instead.
Yes.
Anybody? So the ego, the belief in the ego is a denial of the truth. The belief in separateness is a denial of truth. The belief in guilt is a denial of truth.
Yeah, so I'm looking at sentence 7,
uh-huh.
And I think that is, yet having obscured it,
mm-hmm.
the light in another mind, or Holy Spirit, must mm-hmm. shine into theirs because that light is theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where you've already stepped into the shit.
Right.
But because there is no guilt, because there's no sin, the way you get that, really, the way you're going to get that feeling and that experience of no guilt, no sin, is by stepping into or stepping back from and letting the Holy Spirit come into your mind at that point.
Well said. Well
that's
said.
That's hopeful because the alternative is to kind of not say it, you know, but that is, I think that's what Jesus is. Jesus says, don't try to change the world.
Yes.
Because that is the yes. me. The character of the world, and I'm trying to change it
yes.
of my own.
Make self. That noise again. Make that noise again. That is forgiveness without a miracle. That's stuffing it. That's trying. I mean, it's better than getting, you know, making a mess in the world. You know, it's better than hurting somebody. But you are not forgiving, as A Course in Miracles described. You are denying. Your ego, it's due, which is better than punching somebody.
Yeah.
But you are not freely forgiving. You see, true forgiveness in A Course in Miracles, true forgiveness is effortless. Because you're forgiving something that's not true, and you know it. But when you, you really believe it is true, just try not to do anything about it. The miracle allows you to see the falsity in the problem. Forgiveness lets the problem go. You have one miracle. You may have many efforts at forgiveness because the thoughts keep recurring when you wake up in the morning. Somebody reminds you, you know, until you actually catch the ego. And now forgiveness releases what the miracle knows to be nothing. And you go, oh my God, that was easy. When that happens, your holy instinct comes. Not with the, so good, Don. Thank you. Perfect illustration. Ross, what do you got?
Well, I was just, that's interesting what you said, that it comes without effort. So I guess what sometimes happens for me is I'll bite my tongue, for example, and then feel it slowly dissipate. So I guess it's kind of a transitional period where, you know, okay, I bite my tongue, I don't say what is on my mind, and then I go, oh, I see that how it's just dissipating. The desire to say it after a while just isn't really there anymore.
And you maybe you've noticed with your spiritual work and your Course in Miracles work that you bite your tongue, and maybe in the beginning it might take a week to get over it.
Exactly.
And now it's down to a day. Now it's down to an hour.
Yes. Oh yes, definitely. Everything's faster. Every all the recovery time is faster. Yes.
This is one of the proofs of Course in Miracles work.
Yes. Yes.
Because it's faster. Because now your motivation is clear. Why you're biting your tongue. Because you're not going to give your ego its due. Luann says, God, if I just would have thought of biting my tongue, I wouldn't have damaged my relationship with my daughter. And it just didn't mean, I just was itching to say this horrible thing. And I just let the ego have its run. Boy, did that cost hours of problems with her.
I did. And I think what you told me to do about it is if I need to weaken my ego. It's not ever going to go away, but I need to weaken it so that it's not running my life.
That's right. And you learn to do that by catching it every day. The workbook is designed to help you catch your ego every day while you're living your normal life when you aren't looking for it. And your timer goes off and you think, it's 3:00. I got to do my lesson again. And you realize that you're on the phone with customer support again. And there's something in your heart that's not love again, right? And then you can apply the Course in Miracles. You might have a spiritual awakening right in that moment where, as the Course puts it, the most holiest place on earth is on a customer support call where an ancient hatred is recognized as a present love.
It takes a miracle.
It takes a miracle to go from hate to love. But exactly, you would see the truth of the situation and drop the falsity of the situation. These are the most powerful miracles. Yeah.
Isn't it also true that if you want to go or bite your tongue or whatever, you can also say, I'm going to just let the Holy Spirit do this for me, whatever it is.
Yes. And it does take time. You are in a world of time. That's why I like Ross's pronouncement, as he said, so much, because you are in a world of time. I told you earlier that you completely believe something that's not true. You know, not believe. You know something that's not true. That's why how you maintain your body in the world so well. So if you're going to go against that much commitment, if you're going to go upstream, it does take time. In time, right? The Course talks about that. In time, it seems like time, but in eternity, it's nothing. But this is where you are, so you don't deny it. You don't deny the addiction to time, but let the Holy Spirit help you through it. Now you will use time and the body and the problem for a higher purpose, and that purpose will be your healing, and you'd be amazed with what else comes along with it. Jacqueline, please.
The denial of the truth, I was just thinking about it, and the bottom line is, every single thing that I, believe about me from this world is a denial of the truth. I mean, every single aspect. And I was wondering if even the experience, we feel like we experience being in the body, we feel like we experience pain, we feel like, we look at the world and there's the one that all looks so, I mean, the whole structure that I seem to be, I think that I am or is happening is all denial of the truth. Everything.
Everything.
So anyway, that just seems, that's all.
And you needed to make everything so convincing in order to block the light, to block love, to block the awareness of God. You needed a substantial curtain, wall. And that is the beliefs in separation, which we call the ego. Everything. You got it. Every single thing is a denial of the truth. That's why, I think it's so potent. Miracle Principle 17 goes right at it. It's so potent. It's so cutting. Quick, look at Miracle Principle 17. He's not fooling around. He realizes you're not really ready for this, but he puts a placeholder for those who are right in the front of the book in Miracle Principle 17. He says, where we're going, as Jacqueline described, we really have to see the effects of the blocks. And when we do, something happens. Like Jacqueline just said, Jacqueline didn't say something. She didn't say the problems. She didn't mention any political people by name. She didn't say anything like that. She said everything. Did you see that look on her face? That absolute nature of what she said? And that's Miracle Principle 17. It says miracles transcend the body, period. Next sentence. They are sudden shifts into invisibility, away from the bodily level. That's why they heal. And Jacqueline is on that precipice saying, I think healing means that nothing I see means anything. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Right, Jacqueline? What freedom is that? You don't have to pick. It's everything goes for your freedom. And to do that, you're one thought away. Not a whole bunch of thoughts, not a whole bunch of years, right? I mean, really, if it's everything, that means it's binary. Binary is like black and white. It's two choices. Beautiful. Good, good, good. Rossi, you had your hand up earlier. Oops, you're still muted.
We jumped away from the time thing I was going to comment on. So it's kind of like you have to go back to when we were talking about time.
We'll bring it if you remember it.
There's a quote that's, we were talking about time and saying that it takes time to do all these things to undo. But what the Course says is that it takes time to deceive you so completely, but it takes no time at all to be what you are.
Nice.
So yes and no.
Yeah, that's right. Yes and no. You got it. That's the paradox. Yeah. Yes, Luann.
Okay. Out of this world, none of it is real. Okay. What you're saying and what I think Jacqueline is saying. But something within this life feels real.
Yes. I like to make this distinction. It's all real, this world, but none of it's true.
Okay, but when I say feels real, I mean I feel sometimes that the power of love, the energy of love, the mm-hmm. presence of love.
Yes.
And it comes usually from something I'm either, my mind is either believing, or it comes from someone who may not even know they're sending me pure love, but it feels mm-hmm. like that to me.
Yes, the Course calls it echoes of love.
Okay.
An echo of love. It's not actually the source. It's an echo. It's a reflection of love.
Pretty close.
You can have loving thoughts. You can have loving, pure thoughts even.
I'm not talking about thoughts. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about a feeling that I can't describe. Mm-hmm. It feels like what would be love if I could describe it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, you are connected. I mean, after all, you're actually love. Even in the dream as a dreamer, you're still love. You've managed to deny your awareness of it, but you can't deny what you actually are. I think it was Roth says that. And the Course says that. You can't deny. It's the only thing you can't do is to not be what you are. You are what this love thing, whatever it is, you are blocked from pronouncing it, by the way. But whatever this love thing actually is, you are. You've cleverly blocked it out of your mind. You blocked it from realization here in time and space. Because it would absolutely evaporate the seeming reality of the world. Tim, what do you got?
We're talking about the world not being at all. There's two other models that I really like that support the same ideas. The Course is stressing. The first comes from Buddhism, which is to say, if you look at anything and take it to its constituent parts and you just keep drilling down and drilling down and drilling down, finally what you wind up with is nothing. It's empty. But even more fun for me is you were teasing me about, you know, astronomy and cosmology and the big, but I very much love the tiny as well because they go hand in hand with the big. So quantum mechanics says there aren't even particles. Even matter itself is an illusion. There's just wave functions, there's probability functions. And I know that sounds like gibberish or garbage unless you've had a chance to study it for a while and build a ladder or scaffolding to get to the ideas. But nothing exists.
That's the highest achievement of science to date in 2022.
It is. It's the pinnacle of science to date. Quantum mechanics has never been wrong. It's the ultimate theory. 100 years of very specific testing, and it's never failed once.
Bigger, better equipment, more and more tests, more and more universities. Did you know that 99% of all the scientists that ever live on planet Earth are alive today?
No, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
And that's, these advances are very specific and redundant and repeated. And, so what Tim says is absolutely true. Nisargadatta said it this way. He said, when I realize I am nothing, that is wisdom. When I realize I am everything, that is love.
So my point was that there are multiple different, widely accepted, deeply understood reinforcements to what you're talking about now in the course.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Thank you, Tim. Yeah, I love that stuff. I just love that the reality here in the time and space in the body leaves.
And like Luann, I find it difficult to like go, really? That computer monitor in front of me isn't actually there.
Mm-hmm.
But then I apply the ideas, I apply the principles, and my mind begins to accept the reality that it dissolves.
If you take it full circle, the idea that it's not actually there independent, that it's actually nothing, okay, and yet you think it's something, I have come to the realization it's the only way you could possibly keep it.
Yeah. And another interesting idea in quantum mechanics now is that things are only exist in terms of relationships to each other. Nothing exists in and of itself independently. You have to be able to compare it to something else in order to assign it a quality or a characteristic. If I have a pen and it's black ink, you've got to have something, a different color to compare it to in order to say that the ink is black. There's got to be a second thing.
That's it, buddy.
That's true for everything.
If everything is the same color, there is no color.
Right. So
okay, now, before we jump into tonight's word, I want to address Don's comment with the longer answer to what do I do? Because, it's been a long time since we've done this, and I think we should do this every once in a while. What do I do? What is it? How does Course in Miracles work to undo my addiction to anger, sorrow, judgment, etc.? How do I heal my mind practically? How? Let's just take a quick peek with 30 short sentences or so. Turn to page in your text. Turn to page 679. Oh my God. I think it's been years since we've done this. Considering the pandemic and everything.
Oh. In the text?
In the text, page 669. See? I forgot how many pages there are in the text. How about that? And now turn two more pages to the beginning of table of contents of the workbook. Don, is there something specific that was a problem? Was it just a conversation with Marianne or something more specific?
Well, okay. I just lately I have been Lately, I have been catching myself reacting to something Michelle, that I perceive Michelle, I'm reacting to the projection of Michelle. And I either don't really outwardly react at all, or I might have an expression on my face that suggests I'm upset, and Michelle might, I perceive her observing that and inviting me to, I think, be to defend or something.
Sounds like that's sort of the escalation.
And so, yeah, that could be the escalation. And what okay. instead, what I do, what I've been doing, it seems like, occasionally now, just lately, the last few days, is I stop. And I just, I sometimes even close my eyes. I take a deep breath, and I just let it go. I step away, in a sense, and let this sense of calmness mm-hmm. and peace
yes.
come over me.
That's really good practice. Now, that practice is physical work, which we have to learn to do. And taking a breath, counting to 10, stepping back like that. These are practices you are mastering because out of necessity, out of desperation even. And but to make them shorter, as we were talking about earlier with Ross, to make this whole episode shorter and less sticky, less difficult, to natural, okay, dare I say honest, to make your response actually honest, watch this. And can I just pick a possible, I'll just pick a possible thing because I need something to shove in here in my okay. work. And I'll say her redundancy. You know, she says things over and over and over and over again. You've already talked about this, and yet you're saying it again. Okay, so I mean, that could really get to you. It could kind of get. So watch this. Watch this. Number one on that page on the workbook for students table of contents. Nothing I see about this redundancy habit of Michelle's means anything. Oh. Number two, I have given everything that I see, you know, think and feel and so forth, about this redundancy, Michelle's habit. I have given it all the meaning it has for me, not her. Oh, even the ego has to surrender to the obviousness of that one. Number three, honestly, I do not understand anything I see about this Michelle's behavior. I don't actually understand it. She does it over and over again. I know that much, but I you know what? I don't really understand that. I got my judgments and my ego's opinions, but I really don't understand it. Oh, there's more. These thoughts about her redundancy and that I don't understand, and that maybe I should, whatever my thoughts are, they don't mean anything. Whoa. Can you feel the freedom?
Yeah.
Or do you feel the angst? And I think you feel the freedom.
I do.
These are fighting words to the ego, but that's why you do the text first, and then you do the workbook, because you really have to have trust developed that there's something behind this material before you can do this radical stuff. Okay, let's do another one. Number five, I got to be honest. I'm never upset for the reason I think when it comes to Michelle.
You know, when you were saying, are you feeling angst? Or are you feeling, you know, some freedom? I kind of noticed that I was starting to feel happy.
You love freedom, Don. You're here for, this is a big lifetime for you. Ross, what do you got?
Yeah, the bad part is for me is I know all this stuff and I do the stupid stuff anyway.
Yeah.
I'm just like, why am I still doing this? Oh, well, but, I but know Ross, better.
And
I
but do Ross, anyway. Now that's the from my point of view, because I can relate to what you're saying. But from my point of view is that that's the opportunity to seek the forgiveness in the Holy Spirit for yourself.
Because you noticed.
Compassion for yourself.
Eventually.
Toward yourself.
Well, I have my little hissy fit first.
Okay. That's yeah, okay. Then I like your, you have your hissy fit. Go, okay.
It's shorter. It's shorter. Yeah, how's it's hissy shorter. Fit? It's honest. It's shorter. And
that's all I got.
And later even, you'll find that you can do the forgiveness exercise if you're doing the workbook, the lesson of the day, apply it to what happened during your hissy fit 3 hours ago. It's just as powerful. Maybe more powerful because you kind of sat with it for a while. And here's some really great news. You can take and apply these healing thoughts to something that happened 20 years ago with somebody who's dead. Because it was in your head and nothing to do with them.
Oh my God, that's great.
You're carrying the weight and you feel the weight. That means you're carrying it right now. And that means that the lesson can be applied right now. It's one of the ways you stay in bodies is we don't allow ourselves to forgive things. We think it's too late and therefore the guilt sets in. That's one of the ways to stay in a body. It's another trick of the ego. There's a chapter 28 has... I'll just tell you the title because it's enough. Title of section 1 in chapter 28 is The Present Memory. Get it? Is it memory of the past, you say? Well, by the time you get to chapter 28 in the Course in Miracles, you're starting to question the past reality. Two words for you. Present memory. That's a whole teaching. Two words. It's an entire teaching. Yeah, do you feel it?
Memory does not always imply bringing up something from the quote-unquote past. Memory is something that we use to know who we are and what we are.
It's a power.
It also reinforces time and space.
Memory, it sure does.
Which is
it true. Can. It can absolutely reinforce it, make it real.
It can, but if I have memory of what I truly am, I don't agree that that reinforces time.
Oh, you mean if you switch to the right mind?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, sure. Good. Look at number 6 in the table of contents. I'm upset about Michelle's behavior. Because I see something that's not there. See how chaotic that is? Remember I told you you know something that's not true? He's starting to press that button. Oh, God, there's more. Number 7, when it comes to dealing with Michelle, I see only the past.
It feels to me like when you say stay in the present, that there really isn't any present. It's all past or future.
Yeah. It's all past when you look out, but it's all present when you look in.
Okay. But as soon as you look in, it's part of the past. I mean, time-wise.
No, when you go, I didn't say backwards. When you look in, I mean you get present. You go still.
Okay.
Let me have you do an exercise right now. Everybody, let's do the exercise right now. Are you ready? Just hold on a minute. I'm going to ask you a very simple question. Ready? Are you aware right now? Just aware. Not aware of anything, just are you aware? Take a moment. And see if you can feel whether that answer is yes or no. Obviously, it's yes. Just aware. Are you aware? without answering aware of what. Don't go there. This is the essence of I am. It's a very simple thought. It has only one answer. This is what it means to go still, Luann. This is what it means to touch eternity. If you touch that thought, it happened pretty quickly. I am. I'm aware. Can't say much more than that. Maybe that's the case. That's fine. Shouldn't. To make your thoughts complex, you have to go into perception, into consciousness, into remembering and complexities, into I know something.
I guess what I'm hearing you say is, if I could say I'm aware of something,
uh-huh.
Not the same thing as just saying I'm aware.
Atta girl, you got it. You got it!
And if I'm saying that's I'm aware of something, that's what I have to say my ego is taking me.
You absolutely got it, Luann. That's right. Okay. Well, you can see where we're going. I guess we can skip the rest because we're running on time here. But this is one of my toolbox items. You know, on my website for free, you can print out, I don't know, 10 or 12 or 15 places in the book that if the beep hits the fan in your life, you just need a page to go to try to reset your mind. I have what I call the toolbox on my website. Use it as a bookmark in your Course in Miracles. And if you really get in trouble, this is one of the items, is to go through these first 30, you know, 40 lessons, really, 50 lessons, the first 50 lessons, and apply your problem as the subject of the lesson title, the lesson title. You see what I've been doing, right? It's healing the past about Michelle's behavior.
Yes.
My mind is preoccupied with past thoughts about Michelle's behavior. I see nothing about Michelle as it is now. My thoughts do not mean anything when it comes to thinking about Michelle's behavior. And my meaningless thoughts are showing me a meaningless world. And I'm stuck because I see a meaningless world about this behavior. And then there's fear associated with not liking this behavior. And God did not create a meaningless world. Thank goodness. My thought, you know, and on and on. The first 50, you can apply your problem, right, embed it in that statement, and it will cleanse your mind and put you on the right track. It's a great tool. Yes, Jacqueline?
Well, I mean, you could just do that with anything, just a tree, or do all these lessons with just a tree, right? I mean, so it doesn't have to be, I mean, the healing and the undoing, and when we're having problems with people, or we see something, you know, that's a good thing to focus on. But
atta girl, let me say it this way.
You can do it with everything.
Let me say it this way. At first, you must do it with things that are upsetting you, and then you must do it with things that are not. Mm-hmm. The subtler things, like a tree, as Jacqueline is going through, that becomes the block to the awareness of love's presence. The tree, the reality of the tree. Well, certainly the tree is real. Ego's gotcha. Certainly the tree is God. Can't change that. Materialism is gotcha. You must go and what the Course calls beyond appearances. It's a journey beyond words, and there's a journey beyond appearances, and Miracle Principle 17 tells us you have to take a journey into the invisibility. Invisibility. That means everything has to be forgiven. So absolutely, Jacqueline. Yes, go ahead.
Well, also, you know, I've been trying to imagine how, you know, if I look at a person, can I really see their Christ, or that they're light and love, you know. So I just had a sense of a little bit of experience that it actually kind of goes out of my body. It goes out into every, so I'm looking at them, I'm seeing them, but I'm also in my mind having another experience. Now, I read with Gary Renard, I've been reading his, again, and his wife, who he had all kinds of issues with, like Don was talking about, she used to go on and on and on and talk and talk and talk, and he wanted him to stop talking so he could do his work, and, you know, finally, he had a whole healing with that, and at one point, he just felt all love and was able to, it shifted for him. And then later, at some point, doesn't say the timeline, but at some point, they were out cleaning up leaves and trees from a storm. And he turned around to say something to her, and she was just this, all he saw was this beam of light, blinding almost, light from, you know, going up into forever, infinity. And he stood there just gawking at her for a moment or two. He was shocked and amazed. And he turned away so he could kind of integrate it. And, you know, when he turned back, she said, "What were you looking?" You know, she saw that he looked at her. So I think that his journey of forgiveness with her allowed him to have that holy instant of actually seeing that she's, you know, she's light, she's Christ, she's this, she's that. So I would love to have that, but I'm having a little bit of an experience of, I realize I have to come out of the body and there's some level of thoughts into a mind. So I'm seeing something else as my eyes are seeing the body.
I want to comment on that.
It's very slight, but it's just starting to happen a little bit.
I want to encourage that, and let me explain why. It would not be your body's eyes that would see the truth. So indeed, you become aware yourself of being beyond your own body as you look upon the truth that seems to appear to you. Would not be your body's eyes that see the truth. So I love the way you describe it. I'm highly encouraging that. And I want to say this to you also, Jacqueline. You're experiencing, you have experienced many lamps, but there is one light. And for you to see the light instead of the lamps, you have to align with the light, not the lamp. Is this making sense? Because you have electricity all over your house. Comes out the light, comes out the socket, comes out the microwave oven. But if you step back from the expressions of it, you can say, oh, one electricity comes to my house. So many lamps, one light. And you're included as a lamp, your body, your eyes. And so I love what you describe. I'm highly encouraging it. Indeed, let yourself go as you allow yourself to see. This is a step into the invisibility, and it is your Christ mind now. As the Course describes it, short sentence, it says you have to step out of an insane thought system in order to see it as it is. And this is when you allow your Holy Spirit to become present. And then your unholy spirit takes the background. Ego goes into the background. Your body goes into the background. Your body becomes the separate thing that it is. But there is a unifying perspective that is actually somewhere else. Well said. Beautiful. Thank you, Jacqueline. Beautiful, beautiful. If we had time, I'd take you to a page where it describes that. But let's. We've got to get to our reading for tonight. Good, good, good. Please, anybody, interrupt things like that or anything you've been saying tonight has been golden. So don't worry about our curriculum. These are much more important things. But Don, you got that clue? If you really want to see and be reminded how powerful these lessons are, take your problem into the workbook and have your mind scrubbed clean.
I need it.
Good. Okay, let's go to page 12. Let's go back at page 12 and work that paragraph a little more. Okay.
What page?
This is page 12 in the Manual for Teachers.
Oh, okay.
And we just read these two paragraphs. Now we're going to scrub through them a little bit. Harm is impossible for God's teachers. You know, as you awaken, you teacher of God. God is just truth. It is oneness. Oneness, you know, either manifested or abiding or reflected. This is what God is. God is not an entity. It's a realization of the truth. So harm is impossible for God's teachers. They can neither harm nor be harmed. Whoa. But of course, that means that you're not a body, right? Your body is definitely harmed. It gets harmed. And eventually, the body gets sick and dies. But the teacher of God is now teaching from the perspective of the invisible, from the perspective of being, as Lesson 97 says, I am spirit. Spirit am I. Wow. What a gift. Almost too soon. In the workbook, it's like, wow. Okay, so that's, of course, what we're talking about, is that you've awakened to the perspective of your higher mind, the Holy Spirit. And now you really can have fun in this world. All right? Gentleness, right? They can neither harm you harmed. Next. Harm is the outcome of judgment. Judgment's taking perception seriously. Trying to give it meaning. Harm is the dishonest act that follows a dishonest thought. Has to be dishonest, has to be non-tolerant, has to be non-trusting. If you think you have to change your outside world for any reason, for any purpose for your inside happiness, that's a dishonesty. Not tolerant, not honest, not trusting. It is a verdict of guilt upon a brother and therefore on oneself. You know, we got to go to page, hold your finger here, we're coming right back. But go to text page 557. 557. And look at paragraph 16. Kenny, you feel like reading? You feel bold? What do you got? Going to pass tonight? All right. Dr. Day, when you get there, would you read for us number 16 on page 557 of the text?
557.
We're stepping...
16, you said?
16, yes, sir.
The miracle but calls your ancient name, which you will recognize because the truth is in your memory. And to this name, your brother calls for his release and yours. Heaven is shining on the Son of God. Then I am not, that you may be released. Each instant is the Son of God reborn until he chooses not to die again. In every wish to hurt, he chooses death instead of what his Father wills for him. Yet every instant offers life to him because his Father wills that he should live.
Oh, so beautiful. Each instant is the Son of God reborn until he chooses not to die again. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? From Jesus' perspective, you're dying every instant. Of course, you are denying life by living separately. Each instant is the Son of God reborn until he chooses not to die again. You know, there's another place I can't resist going. Go to page 552 real quick. Just a few pages back. 552 and paragraph 13. Dom, would you read for us that amazing paragraph? Jesus is just calling us out. He's saying, you know, from my perspective, here's what you're doing. Don, go for it.
Each day and every minute each day, in each day and every instant that each minute holds, you but relive the single instant when the time of terror took the place of love. And so you die each day to live again until you cross the gap between the past and present, which is not a gap at all. Such is each life, a seeming interval from birth to death and on to life again, a repetition of an instant gone by long ago that cannot be relived. And all of time is but the mad belief that what is over is still here and now.
This is your master teacher, Jesus, just offering his perspective from the healed mind. This too you would know. Like you, as much as you think you know that you're a body, you would know this to be true. Oh my God, I've just been chasing a dream over and over and over again.
Andrew,
yeah,
I have written here above that sentence something you probably helped out on previously. Mm-hmm. I have, I'll read the sentence, then insert what you told us. Each day and every minute in each day and every instant that each minute holds, you, child of God, asleep and dreaming, but relive the single instant when the time of terror took the place of love.
You got it. You got it. Yeah, sometimes I go to another page when we have more time in that sentence, and you took a note. Thank you. I'm glad to hear it. That's right. That's what you're busy doing. And from the perspective of Jesus, it's not a problem. It's just a waste. You're just dying love constantly. And if you're interested, he says, I'm your older brother. I'll take you back home if you want. And if you don't want, I'll just wait until you do, because I know you will. I know you want to be happy. You're not happy here. He says, I'm out of sight of time now, so I can wait forever. Forever. What a joke. That's what Jesus says. Eternity means there is no time. Not a problem. Yeah. Yeah. Good, good. Okay. Back to page 12. Now we're on page 13. Top of the page. This judgment or harm, where you'd follow judgment with the thought of destruction or hurt. This kind of thinking, attack, this kind of thinking. Sentence 6, that is the end of peace and the denial of learning. Learning is a key word in A Course in Miracles. He actually builds it up quite a bit. One of my favorite sentences is, this is a direct quote, learning is living here, meaning here on earth, comma, just as creating is being in heaven. Learning is living here, just as creating is being in heaven. I just love that. It's so insightful on so many levels. So here you must learn, because that's, you know, the gear you're in. That's the state your mind is in learning, is in climbing back out the hole that you dug. And learning is a great way to do it. It's kind, it's gentle, respectful of everything you did. So when he says you can deny learning, it's like, oh, I don't want to do that. Next sentence. Judgment, harm, demonstrates the absence of God's curriculum and its replacement by insanity. Well, now Jesus is getting personal. You talking to me? Yeah, you're insane.
What's the reference? I somehow missed that.
Sure.
What is it? The reference page and all that?
Oh, page 13, top of the page. We're working our way through what we just recently read.
The manual.
In the manual. Yeah, in the manual for teachers.
Top of the page.
Top of the page. Now I'm working on sentence 8. No teacher of God but must learn. See, because you're coming from not being a teacher of God. You're coming from being a teacher of ego. So learning, as the Course describes many times, is actually an unlearning. You're unlearning. But still, it's a change nonetheless from what you believe. Okay, so no teacher of God but must learn, and fairly early in his training, that harmfulness completely obliterates the function from his awareness. It will make him confused and fearful and angry and suspicious, nothing good. It will make the Holy Spirit's lessons impossible to learn. Oh, nor can God's teacher be heard at all, except by those who realize that harm can actually achieve nothing. Right? If you're actually living and abiding in a dream state, then harm can achieve nothing. In fact, it would only achieve to make the dream seem more real. This is the awakened mind. This is the right mind that we're learning to access. No gain can come of it. Ah, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. All right, let's go for it. Let's do joy. D2D, who's up next, is Jacqueline. I got your mute. Jacqueline, on page 13 of your manual, will you read for us joy?
Joy. Joy is the inevitable result of gentleness. Gentleness means that fear is now impossible, and what could come to interfere with joy? The open hands of gentleness are always filled. The gentle have no pain. They cannot suffer. Why would they not be joyous? They are sure they are beloved and must be saved. Joy goes with gentleness as surely as grief attends attack. God's teachers trust in him, and they are sure his teacher goes before them, making sure no harm can come to them. They hold his gifts and follow in his way because God's voice directs them in all things. Joy is their song of thanks.
Say that again. Joy is?
Their song of thanks.
Whoa. Go ahead.
And Christ looks down on them and thanks as well. His need of them is just as great as theirs of him. How joyous it is to share the purpose of salvation.
So joy is a description of your released and releasing mind. When you own freedom of mind, you cannot, you mean joy, joy becomes your only steady state. You may drip out of joy because you're still working it, but you now know joy. Let's look at a paragraph back in the text that helps describe some of this a little further. Go back to page 464 in chapter 21. 464 in your text, and look at the beautiful paragraph 13. And Luann, when you get there, would you read that paragraph for us?
Which paragraph was it?
Number 13 on text 464. Bottom of the page.
Elusive happiness, or happiness in changing form that shifts with time and place, is an illusion that has no meaning. Happiness must be constant because it is attained by giving up the wish for the inconstant. Joy cannot be perceived except through constant vision, and constant vision can be given only those who wish for constancy. The power of the Son of God's desire remains the proof that he is wrong. who sees himself as helpless. Desire what you want, and you will look on it and think it real. No thought but has the power to release or kill, and none can leave the thinker's mind or leave him unaffected. So we got to be careful what we're thinking, kids.
Indeed. Ross, what do you got?
So I remember Adyashanti saying that any experience that has a beginning, middle, and end is not what you're looking for. It's not enlightenment. It's not awakening. So, you know, you can have bliss for a couple of hours. You can have a period of where you think you're achieving something for months even, and it's just not it. Because as it says here, elusive happiness, or happiness in changing form that shifts with time and place, is an illusion. So, but the way he put it really stuck with me because it was just so succinct.
It's Jesus says it on page 238. Go to page 238, paragraph 8, regarding what Ross just said. And Ross, read for us paragraph 8, but just read one sentence. Read sentence number 4.
Sentence 4?
Yes, sir.
No one who believes this can understand what always means, and therefore guilt must deprive you of the appreciation of eternity.
Then you read the next sentence too.
You are immortal because you are eternal and always must be now.
Now.
Yeah. Well, like I say, the way Adi put it really stuck. If you got an experience that has a beginning, middle, and end, that ain't it.
That ain't it. It's not always.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with eternity.
What about the holy instance?
It must be in time. In the holy instance, how many holy instants are there in truth?
Well, one, but we have holy instants, and they come and go. You know, they don't.
But they don't actually, do they?
Well, they seem like they do.
They seem like they do because you're
denying them.
Because you're referencing the lack of the holy instant.
Yeah.
When you flip and you realize that the holy instant is the constant truth and that you're dreaming a lack of it, you flip, your perspective flips, and now you're constantly going into a dreaming state when actually your awakened state is the holy instant. It's a little flip that occurs because you'll recognize the constancy of the holy instant. It's always the same. Beautiful, fulfilling, complete, infinite, and eternal. That touch of timelessness. Every time.
So that's not what Ross's teacher is talking about.
Well, Ross's teacher is talking about the denial of the holy instant. If you see something that has this as a beginning, a middle, and then an end, then it's ephemeral. It's not of truth. It's not a holy anything. Just another dream. It's in time.
What I'm hearing you say is when we have a holy instant, it's what it was doing is always there.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is we forget that we had it, and we can. But when we remember, it's still there.
Yep. And all we had to do is stop focusing on anything else. Mm-hmm. You don't go get a holy instant. You recognize that, right? By now, you don't go get one. You don't go find it, sort it out, post it up, and look at it. No, you simply undo your thinking for a moment, and there it is.
You allow something else to come in.
You allow
the truth.
Yes.
It's like that experience I had in summer camp where I said, I would not look upon this. I would not look upon. I trust my brothers, for they are one with me. And instantly my happiness with this little child, and the whole circumstance was there. And it had been there before. I just wasn't aware of it or experiencing it.
I love that. Boom.
When you think about it, it's still there, isn't it, Don?
And it's still there.
Yes.
And it's here right now. See, that's the thing. Right now, it's here right now.
It's here right now, turns out. Always available. Turn to text page 55. We have just enough time to finish that paragraph, and that will be the end of our meeting.
What'd you say, two?
Of text 55, front of your book, way up front. Way up front. Well, we got a good one next week. Text page 55, paragraph 10. And I think it's Ross's turn. Ross, I'll get your mute. Would you read for us paragraph 10 on page 55?
The ego is afraid of the spirit's joy. Because once you have experienced it, you will withdraw all protection from the ego and become totally without investment in fear.
See, a sentence like that is what kept me reading A Course in Miracles. It's like, wait a minute. There is this awareness I can achieve where I can then, if fear evaporates, tell me more. Please continue.
Your investment is great now because fear is a witness to the separation, and your ego rejoices when you witness to it. Leave it behind. Do not listen to it and do not preserve it. Listen only to God, who is as incapable of deception as is the spirit he created. Release yourself and release others. Do not present a false and unworthy picture of yourself to others, and do not accept such a picture of them yourself.
The ego is afraid of the spirit's joy because once you have experienced the spirit's joy, you will withdraw all protection from the ego and become totally without investment in fear. This is the right mind. This is a free mind. Now you can be in the world still, but you won't be of the world. Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for studying A Course in Miracles with me. Let's do it again next week with defenselessness. Thanks for all your input. Thanks for bringing it, making it real.
Andrew, do you have a moment after?
Sure, I do.
Okay, thank you.
Can anybody else join you? Just want you and me.
Oh, no, it's okay. If someone would like to join, they might get something out of it, too.
Okay, great. We're going to have a little mini meeting extension. Anybody here has to go, good to see you. Otherwise, hang around. Maybe you can help pitch in.
Bye, everybody.
Good night, Jacqueline.
Bye, Jacqueline. Bye,
Tim.
Ross.
He's gone.
Yeah.
Okay,
what do you got?
Okay, I have sort of gotten lost on my workbook progression. I mean, I've gone back and forth and started over and so been there, and then I get intrigued with, you know, this later workbook lesson. You know, the bottom line is I think I need the discipline and consistency of a progression. And I am looking for I'm looking for spiritual guidance. I'm looking for, you know, what my teacher mm-hmm. would say. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I would love it. I mean, some people do experience the spirit just speaking very specifically and directly to them.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, yep. Do this.
Yep.
That's what I'd like. But I am not purified enough, you know, to hear that kind of direct guidance.
Yep. And so what you got instead is instead of hearing the voice say, do this, he wrote it down. and you have a copy. And yes. They're numbered 1 to 365. And he says, do one per day, not two. Don't do them out of order. Do number one, then number two. Then you're ready for number three. And then you're ready for number four. So I would recommend start over. But this time, you will do one per day, even if you don't get it. And I would suggest that you write down the date on the top of the page. And that date is your sequence. And then tomorrow will be the next day and the next day.
Okay.
And you know what? You just do it. And if you skip a day, fine. You're just going to do the next lesson, but you'll do the next lesson. And you'll, even if you don't get it, you'll read it. You'll read through it. You'll meditate on it if you can afford the time. And you will see that Jesus' arms will come and give you a big hug every day.
Okay. That's what I was looking for, is where do I start over? I mean,
you bet.
Is there a number I should start at? Well, okay, I'll start at one.
Number one. And number one, in those first lessons, they are so powerful. I think Jesus finished with the final lesson. I mean, started with the final lesson. So it's not a waste to start this one over. These first lessons are so powerful, so cleansing, so reorienting. They'll mean more each time you do them. So by all means, don't be afraid of going over these first lessons again. They, as you maybe remember, if you've done the workbook, they can lead you to a little bit of depression, because they're a bit harsh on the way you've been living your life. But if you've been through them before, they become freeing.
Right.
So receive that freedom, and you'll notice that he kind of hits you pretty hard on your ego, and then he gives you a couple about God and spirit. And he comes back to your ego, and he comes back. So you're in good hands, but do one after the other. Don't stop. You have begun a journey that is 365 days long.
Okay.
And that's exactly how long it should take.
Okay. That's good.
Congratulations. What a great journey. What a great path.
I mean, I have gotten up to the 200 and some before, maybe even further in the ancient past. But
yeah, sure.
But I think that's a good idea. Just start there.
It will mean more. Those early lessons will mean more. And if you do them every day, Dawn, every day, the lesson you do on Monday will inform not only the lesson you do on Tuesday, but when you get on to Friday, four or five lessons later, the one on Monday will be key to your understanding. But if you do them months apart or years apart, you lose the chain of teaching that is laid out for you on these pages, numbered.
Okay.
It's so brilliant. This workbook is so brilliant of a teaching device. It's just for people who don't hear the voice directly.
I think I need to do that also.
Good.
Hi, Lynn.
I think so, because the first time around, I spent 2 or 3 days reading one lesson, trying to get every single doance of it. And then I would do the lesson. But by the time I got to number five, number one was 2 weeks earlier.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do it too. I'm going to start tomorrow.
March right through it.
Okay.
Yeah. And you guys are experienced enough now that it will offer a little dose of energy that you, because of the body of the teaching, will flow much like opening a window, and then the air comes suddenly through, and you wonder how much more air is there to come through. That's the effect of letting these lessons chain together. So boy, you're in for a ride. I'm very happy for you.
Okay, thank you, Andrew.
You're welcome. All right, everybody. Good night.